cut in a short bob. Dean told me she currently has a small role in a Broadway show, which is the first thing I ask her about as we head inside after going through the line. By which, I mean skipping it all together, because one word in the bouncer's ear from Dean and the velvet rope magically lifts for us. Inside, the strobe lights are going strong and the music is deafening. Joanna and I need to scream our lungs out in order to continue our conversation. Dean and Beau, who were walking ahead of us, are immediately swallowed up by the frenzied mob. "We lost the boys," I shout in Joanna's ear. She shakes her head and points at the spiral staircase to our left. Sure enough, the guys are ascending the metal steps. Dean glances over his shoulder, finds us in the crowd, and gestures for us to follow them. I discover that the staircase leads to the VIP area. We reach the top in time to hear Dean address the beefy bouncer manning the rope.
"Dean Hayward," he shouts. "Tony knows me."
The bouncer touches the tiny Bluetooth tucked in his ear. His lips move, but I can't make out what he's saying. A second later, our little group saunters past yet another velvet rope. Fortunately, the music isn't as loud up here, so I don't need to shriek like a banshee anymore. "Dean Hayward?" I tease. "Are we not using De Laurentiis anymore?" He slings his arm around me, and the spicy scent of his aftershave infuses my senses, making me shiver.
"De Laurentiis works better at country clubs or charity benefits. The Hayward name opens more doors in Manhattan."
It sure does. Not only do we have access to the VIP lounge, but we're given a spacious table by the wrought iron railing that overlooks the dance floor. I take out my phone to check if Dylan texted. Yep, she and her boyfriend will be here soon. I tell her to come upstairs when they arrive, then refocus on the conversation around me. Joanna is teasing her brother about someone named Sabrina, but he's insisting the relationship is over, which seems to upset his sister.
"You're such an idiot. Seriously, Bobo, you need someone like her to keep you in line."
Since Dean still has his arm around me, it's impossible not to feel it when he stiffens. I study the hard set of his profile and lightly squeeze his thigh. "You okay?"
"Ah, don't mind him, sweetheart," Beau says with a chuckle. "He always gets like this when the subject of Sabrina comes up. I think he's still sulking that she snubbed him after they boned down."
I'm not surprised to hear that Dean slept with this girl, whoever she is. What I am surprised about is my complete lack of jealousy. The same thing happened during our drive to the city. Listening to Dean talk about silent comers and past hookups hadn't upset me, not the way it had the night I saw Penelope pawing him at Malone's. But I hadn't felt threatened this time around, maybe because they were clearly memories for him and not present-day specters that could interfere with whatever we have going on. I'm not entirely sure what the reason is, but I like this odd, unexpected trust I have in him. In the seat beside me, Dean is rolling his eyes in response to Beau's taunt.
"Trust me, I'm happy to be snubbed."
I wait for him to elaborate. When he doesn't, it heightens my curiosity, so I poke him in the side and say, "Spill, sweetie. I want to hear about this blood feud you've got going on." As Hannah can attest, I'm too nosy for my own good.
"So do I," Beau says honestly.
Dean waves it off.
"It was just some stupid bullshit in sophomore year. No big deal."
"Obviously it is if it still bothers you 2 years later," I point out. Reluctance creases his forehead.
"Long story short, I was struggling in a course, but every time I thought I failed a test or wrote a shitty paper, I'd get an A on it. Me being a total moron, I didn't connect it to the fact that I was banging my TA.
Beau snickers.
"Love it."
I sigh. "Oh boy."
"I know, it was a stupid move,"
Dean says penitently.
"Anyway, Sabrina and I were paired up on the final project. We each did half the work and it was graded separately. My half was C material at best and we both knew it. Except then our grades came back and I got an A. Sabrina got a B minus.
His jaw tightens.
"She was pissed. She went to the professor to bitch about it, and he ended up rereading every paper I turned in and every test I took, all graded by the TA I was screwing. Turned out I should have been failing the class, but I was acing it.
Dean sounds so disgusted it startles me. Before we hooked up, I assumed he was the kind of guy who breezed through life on a free pass because of his looks and money. This story corroborates that, but the anger in his voice reveals something else. He doesn't want the free pass.
I couldn't stomach it,
he admits, confirming my suspicions.
I told the professor to give me the F. I was perfectly willing to retake the course over the summer, but the bastard wouldn't fail me.
Why not? Joanna speaks up, both indignant and bewildered.
He knew my father,
Dean mutters.
They went to law school together, and he told me he'd look the other way as a favor to my dad. I said no way. We argued for a while, until he finally agreed to lower the grade to a B+. It was the best he could do.
Dean's expression is darker than a storm cloud.
I should have failed that fucking course, but the De Laurentiis name bought me a pass, and Sabrina never lets me forget it. She thinks I'm a rich asshole who gets whatever he wants.
His tone grows dismissive again.
Whatever. She can think what she wants. Only matters what I think, right?
I see right through the careless smile he flashes. It bothers him that people think he's a wealthy playboy who has everything handed to him on a silver platter. And yes, I do recognize that side of him. The life of Dean is pretty fucking sweet. But I've also seen other facets of his personality this past month. He's tenacious. Seriously, this guy never ever gives up when he wants something. He cares about his friends and teammates. Hell, I didn't see him on Monday and Tuesday this week because he'd requested extra ice time so he could help some guy named Hunter hone his skills. He owns more books than the public library in Brooklyn, and I can tell from their wear and tear that he's actually read all of them. He...
Your purse.
My head lifts up. What about it? Dean gestures to the black clutch on the bench seat between us.
It's vibrating.
I shake myself out of the bizarre "why Dean is so great" list I was composing and snap open the clutch to find my phone buzzing. I set down my rum and coke. My friends are here. Will you come get them with me? I might need you to talk to the bouncer again. He gives an exaggerated sigh.
I knew it. You're just using me for my connections.
Yep, I answer cheerfully. We head back to the staircase, and I squeal when I spot a familiar face behind the rope.
They're with us,
Dean tells the bouncer. A moment later, there's a teeny, equally excited brunette hurling herself into my arms.
Oh my god, it's so good to see you,
shrieks my best friend from high school.
You don't fucking call me enough.
I grin and say, it takes two to tango. And then we're happily hugging again, until I notice the shadow looming over us. Dylan disentangles herself from the embrace and introduces us to her boyfriend.
This is Roy.
Last time we spoke on the phone, she mentioned she was dating a football player. I would have guessed it, even if she hadn't told me, because Roy is a monster of a man. At least 6'7", with arms as thick as tree trunks and thighs that are bigger than my torso. And either I'm imagining it, or he looks exactly like...
Dude, anyone ever tell you that you look like a young Samuel L. Jackson?
Dean demands, stealing the words right out of my mouth. Roy's massive shoulders set in a rigid line.
Ah, I get it. 'Cause all us brothers look the same to you, right?
My alarmed gaze flies to Dylan, because the menacing glare twisting Roy's features is downright terrifying. And his voice is deeper than the bass line thudding through the club.
What next?
Roy growls.
You gonna say there's something wrong with me going out with this fine white girl? Is that what you're saying?
Dean is unfazed.
Yeah, you got me, man. I'm a huge racist.
He shakes his head incredulously as he continues to stare at Roy.
It's frickin' uncanny. You look exactly like him.
I'm seconds away from clapping my hand over Dean's mouth before this behemoth snaps him like a twig. But to my astonishment, Roy's ominous expression dissolves.
I'm just playing with you, bro. I get it all the time.
Roy breaks out in a huge grin.
I won 10 grand last summer at a celebrity impersonation contest. First place for my Sam Jackson. I did the speech from Deep Blue Sea right before the shark gets him.
Nice.
Dean flashes a mischievous smile.
P.S. Some more racism coming your way. You sound like James Earl Jones.
Roy throws his head back and releases a big, booming laugh. Then he slaps Dean on the arm and says,
You're all right, white boy.
Just like that, they're best friends, talking animatedly as they charge ahead. Dylan sighs and links her arm through mine.
Roy likes to scare people, she apologizes.
I snicker. Don't worry, Dean doesn't scare easily.
Dean, huh?
Her eyes light up.
Why didn't you tell me you had a new boyfriend?
Because I don't. We're just having some fun, nothing serious.
Ha! Huh. Yeah, right, AJ. With you, it's always serious.
Not this time, I want to say. But we've reached the table and the guys' voices drown out our conversation. Beau and Roy are already talking football. And because the ladder is so damn enormous, he takes up at least 3 people's worth of space on the bench-style seat. Dylan slides in beside him, which leaves 0 room for me. Grinning, Dean tugs me into his lap and winds 1 strong arm around my waist.
You can sit right here, baby doll.
Aw, thanks, honey pie. The 6 of us make such an unlikely group that I suddenly have scenes from The Breakfast Club flashing in my mind. Beau, the East Coast quarterback. Dean, the hockey player. Roy, the linebacker from Louisiana. Joanna, the Broadway actress. Dylan, the finance major. And me, the future star of rom-coms. Despite that, there's no shortage of conversation. Dylan and I fill each other in on what we've been up to the past few months. Since I started college, I've lost touch with most of my high school friends. But Dylan's friendship is one I was determined to preserve. As I chat with her, I'm very aware of the fact that Dean is touching me. Constantly. Stroking my shoulder, grazing my thigh, nuzzling my neck. At one point, he even brushes his lips over my cheek, which summons a loud hoot from Beau.
Jesus, Bella!
He marvels. He's highly amused as he meets my eyes.
What kind of spell did you cast on my man, Dean? I've never seen him act like this with a chick before.
My name's Allie, I correct. That makes him laugh harder. Dean sighs, then leans in close and murmurs, Wanna dance? Depends. Are you a good dancer?
Every man is a good dancer.
I snort. The broken toe I got in high school begs to differ.
Sorry. What I should have said is, every man is capable of being a good dancer.
His hands lock around my waist as he lifts me to my feet.
There's just one move a man needs to know in order to rock it on the dance floor.
Yeah? What's the move? I ask curiously. Dean twines his fingers through mine as we descend the staircase.
Stag!
He has to shout his answer because the music is louder down here. I stand on my tiptoes so my mouth is close to his ear.
What's stag?
The only one of Logan's crazy acronyms I live my life by. Stag.
His mouth stretches in a broad smile.
Stand there and grind.
Laughter bubbles out of my throat, turning into a shriek of delight when Dean hauls me into his arms. I wrap my legs around his waist and hold on tight as he carries me to the dance floor. Then he sets me on my feet, presses his delectable body against mine. And proves stag really is the only move that matters. As the sultry, pulse-pounding beat snakes its way into my blood, I toss my hair and shake my hips and run my hands up and down Dean's rippled chest. The strobe light flashes through the dark club, offering tantalizing glimpses of Dean's chiseled features, his hypnotic green eyes, sensual curve of his mouth. We dance for hours. Or at least it feels like ours. The others join us on the dance floor, and I can't remember the last time I had this much fun. I dance with Beau, who grabs my ass every chance he gets. I dance with Roy, who has some sick moves for a man mountain. I dance sandwiched between Dylan and Joanna. I dance with Dean, and the erotic grinding of his hips makes me hot and achy and utterly blissful. Dylan and I sling back two shots at the bar, but I'm not drunk, just deliciously buzzed. Dean seems to be taking it easy, too, but the others are definitely on their way to getting plastered, especially Beau, whose cheeks are flushed and eyes are bright as he vertical sexes a gorgeous redhead on the dance floor. Joanna begs off around 11:30, saying she has an early rehearsal in the morning. Dylan and Roy follow suit soon after. The moment Dylan starts slurring her speech, Roy proves to be not only a responsible adult, but a conscientious boyfriend, and promptly whisks her away. Around midnight, after Beau staggers up looking more wasted than ever, Dean decides it's time for us to go, too. "Where's your friend?" I ask Beau, peering past his shoulder in search of the redhead.
"Went home to her husband."
I fight a laugh. Dean, who's pretty much the only thing holding Beau upright at this point, snickers loudly. We exit the club and step into the frigid night air. Beau is leaning on me now because Dean is at the curb hailing us a taxi. With Joanna gone, I'm worried about Beau getting home safely, so I insist he share a cab with us. "You should go upstairs with him," I tell Dean. "Make sure he gets all the way to his door." A cab miraculously appears. I slide in first, followed by Beau, who groans, closes his eyes, and proceeds to pass out with his head on my shoulder. Dean gets in and rattles off Beau's address to the cabbie. He looks at his sleeping friend, then meets my gaze over Beau's head. "His parents are home, right?" I say slowly. "Will they freak out if they see him like this?"
"Maybe,"
Dean sighs.
"Beau says they're kind of strict. He went to all-boys Catholic schools his whole life."
I bite my lip. "Maybe we shouldn't take him home then."
"Probably not."
Dean leans forward and taps the driver's seat.
"Forget the first address. Just take us to Hayward Plaza, please."
He glances back at me.
"I'll let him sleep it off in the penthouse."
15 minutes later, we're in the hotel elevator. It's weird, but a few measly hours at the nightclub, and somehow I've already forgotten that Dean lives in a freaking palace. I'm once again amazed by my luxurious surroundings. And so is Beau, whose blue eyes widen when he stumbles out of the elevator. His jaw falls open as he stares at the endless wall of windows that overlook the sparkling city skyline.
"Holy shit! I feel like a prince!"
"I know, right?" I say to him. Still shaking his head in astonishment, he staggers toward the huge armchair near the C-shaped leather sectional and collapses on it. Within seconds, he's snoring. Dean wraps his arms around me from behind and kisses my neck.
"Bedtime?"
he asks. I twist around. "I'm not tired," I confess. "Do you feel like watching a movie?"
"Actually, I've got something even better."
He waggles his brows enticingly.
"Go change into something comfy. I'll get it set up."
"Get what set up?" And I hope comfy actually means comfortable and that he's not expecting me to come back in a lace teddy and garter belt. I left my overnight bag in Dean's room, so I quickly dash up the stairs to the third floor. I still can't believe this place has three fucking floors, and change into cotton boxers and a tank top. When I return to the living room, I find Dean sprawled on the couch with the remote in hand. He's shirtless. Shocking. But his low-slung trousers show off the sexy V of his hips, and my tongue tingles with the urge to lick all that delicious man flesh. I moisten my suddenly dry lips and walk toward him. "What are we watching?"
"See for yourself."
He clicks the remote, and I gasp when the opening credits of Solange flash on the largest screen I've ever seen outside a movie theater.
"How is this on?" I exclaim. "Did you steal the DVDs from my dorm?"
"Nope. I called ahead before we left Briar and asked the concierge to track down season 2 for us."
I'm dumbfounded. After I'd randomly stumbled on this show while surfing YouTube, I paid a girl in my dorm to download all the episodes and burn them for me. Solange is huge in France, but nobody here has heard of it, which means it's nearly impossible to find online. And ordering the DVDs off Amazon is pointless because they only work on European players. You made one phone call and got your hands on an obscure French soap opera? I stare at him. Fuck. The life of Dean is truly glorious.
Told ya.
Stretching out on his back, he raises one hand and beckons me. I waste no time snuggling up beside him and resting my head on his shoulder. His bare chest is warm and sturdy, and he smells heavenly. I don't bother asking what kind of aftershave he uses, because it's probably something I've never heard of that costs $1,000 a drop. We lie there for a while, watching the show, which now features a whole slew of new characters who are causing trouble for Solange.
You know, Dean muses, if Mark had half a brain, he'd dump Christine and hook up with Monique.
I like Christine, I protest. She's sweet.
She's conning him, babe. Nobody's that sweet all the time.
I am. Dean's snort vibrates against my cheek.
Yeah, right. You're maybe 20% sweet, tops.
I pretend to be hurt. Do you really think that? I ask in a small voice. He strokes a soothing hand down my spine.
Nah,
he says gruffly.
Don't worry. You're 100% sweet.
Huh. I wasn't worried in the slightest. Just wanted to hear you say that. He chuckles and holds me closer. As the episode unfolds, we get more engrossed in it, falling silent to watch. Dean is absently caressing me, his long fingers grazing the side of my boob with each slow stroke of his hand. I don't think he even realizes he's doing it, but it makes me feel... fine, it's making me horny.
I'm telling you, she's up to something.
Dean's green eyes are focused on the TV, but his hand keeps stroking. On the screen, Christine sits at a table at an outdoor bistro, whispering into her cell phone. The conversation seems pleasant enough. Then again, it's in French, so who knows?
I bet you she's hiring a contract killer.
Dean's thumbnail grazes my nipple. I'm now thoroughly distracted. He's still talking away.
We need to find a version of this show with English subtitles.
His thumb moves away from my nipple, then eases toward it again.
I get you're trying to learn the language, babe, but it's driving me nuts not knowing what's going on.
Dean!
Hmm?
Stop doing that.
Stop doing what?
Touching my boob.
Oh, was I doing that?
I prop myself up on my elbow so I can see his face. His impish expression tells me he wasn't as oblivious as I thought. You knew exactly what you were doing, I chide. And now you need to stop doing it. His tongue comes out to lick his lips.
Why? Is it getting you all worked up?
Yes. He responds with a deep chuckle, then rolls us over so we're lying on our sides facing each other. He cups my left breast and squeezes gently. This time, when his fingertips find my nipple, it's with absolute purpose. He rubs the rapidly hardening bud. Then he releases my breast and slides his hand inside my boxers. I cast an alarmed glance in Beau's direction. He's not snoring anymore, but his eyes are still closed. Beau's sitting right there, I hiss at Dean.
He's asleep.
His fingers tease the waistband of my panties, then dip beneath it. When his thumb presses on my clit, I have to bite my lip so I don't moan. Dean, I murmur nervously.
Allie,
he murmurs back. The pad of his thumb gently circles my clit, sending a hot shiver racing up my spine. He rubs and teases until I'm swollen, aching, and my hips involuntarily hitch forward, seeking deeper contact. He chuckles again. Dean? It's a warning.
Allie?
It's a taunt. His hand moves lower, the calloused palm scraping my pussy on its descent. One talented finger slips inside me. A cross between a breath,
A sigh and a groan escapes my lips, but it's instantly cut off when Dean presses his lips to mine. I kiss him back hungrily, helpless to resist him. Dean De Laurentiis is in my blood now. I didn't expect the intense sexual chemistry between us, but it's here and it's addictive, and I don't know how I can ever give it up. He grinds the heel of his hand against my clit, and the delicious pressure has my thighs clenching together. Pleasure gathers between my legs, making my entire body tremble. I'm far too aware of the sounds we're making. Our heavy breathing, the wet glide of his finger moving inside me. I pray to God that Bo isn't a light sleeper.
I always know when you're getting close,
Dean whispers.
How?
The methodical thrust of his finger is distracting. I start to squirm, my inner muscles bearing down on him as the pleasure intensifies and dances along my heated flesh.
Your cheeks turn bright red, and your eyes, they glaze over.
His warm mouth skates over my jaw before traveling down my neck.
Your pulse throbs, right here.
He licks the center of my throat.
And your pussy squeezes me so fucking tight, like it's trying to trap my finger inside of it.
My breaths go shallow. My mind is foggy. His deep voice and magical hand are all I'm able to focus on. But when he curves his finger and starts moving it faster, my brain shuts down completely.
That's it,
Dean says hoarsely.
Come for me, baby.
I close my eyes and let the sensations take over, gasping softly as the pressure finally releases and I float away on a cloud of bliss. Sighing, I rest my cheek against his pecs, while lingering flutters of pleasure sweep through my body.
You guys know I'm awake, right?
Bo's wry voice triggers a rush of horror mingled with the burn of embarrassment. I bury my face against Dean's chest, too mortified to look over at the armchair.
And now I'm hard as a rock,
Bo adds in a jaunty voice.
So I'm just gonna go ahead and ask, any chance of a threesome?
My head lifts in indignation, but I can't help but laugh when I see the intrigued gleam in Dean's eyes. Don't even think about it, I order, jabbing my finger into his chest. I sit up to fix Bo with the same stern look. Erase that idea from your pretty head, Maxwell, because it's not happening. His smile is downright saucy.
Tonight or ever?
Ever.
Give me one good reason why not,
Bo challenges.
Because A, I don't want to. And B, picture this. It's 10 years from now, I'm a Hollywood A-lister, a 3-time Academy Award winner, the most sought-after actress ever to grace the silver screen. And then the latest issue of People magazine hits the stands. And you know what the headline reads?
I move my hand through the air as if I'm spelling out the headline. Celebrity debauchery exposed. Allie Hayes, college threesome queen. Bo spells out his own headline.
Super Bowl champ Bo Maxwell quoted as saying, best night of my life.
I sigh and turn to Dean, who's clearly trying not to laugh. And now it's time for bed. Say goodnight to your friend Bo, sweetie.
Goodnight, Bo,
Dean says obediently. 24. Allie. Dean and I arrive back at campus at noon the next day. Since the team bus leaves at 1 o'clock for their game in Burlington, he should be hightailing it out of the parking lot if he wants to go home and change first. But he stays rooted in the driver's seat. What's wrong? I can't decipher his expression.
Can I see you tonight?
His voice is husky, and there's an inexplicable chord of something in it. I have rehearsal, so it depends on when Steven lets us out. Call me when you're back from Vermont and we'll see where I'm at. He nods, still doesn't move. Do you mind helping me with my suitcase? Another nod. I fight a pang of uneasiness as we get out of the car.
There's no one in the parking lot to see us unload my bag, but that isn't what's making me apprehensive. It's the intensity Dean is radiating. It's like he wants to say something, but doesn't know how to broach the subject. "Everything okay?" I ask lightly. Those green eyes sweep over me so intently I feel self-conscious. I know my hair is a wavy mess, and I'm pretty sure there's a tiny zit forming on my chin. I hope that's not what he's staring at.
"All good, baby doll,"
he finally says, snapping out of whatever deep thoughts he'd been having.
"Come here and give me a good luck kiss. We desperately need to win this game today."
My gaze flits around the lot. A slight frown touches Dean's lips, and seeing it triggers a flash of guilt. We just spent 3 days together. We fooled around in front of Bo for crying out loud, and I'm afraid to kiss him in an empty parking lot? I bridge the distance and lean on my tiptoes to brush my lips over his. "Good luck," I whisper. Then I slip him a little tongue and smile when his breath catches. He groans softly.
"Tease."
My smile widens as I take a step back. "Thanks for the ride. And the night out."
"And the dirty, dirty sex,"
he reminds me. One dirty would have sufficed. Except nope, I'm wrong. What we did this weekend requires at least 2 dirties. 4 would probably be the right amount.
"You sure you can manage that thing?"
he asks as I roll my overstuffed suitcase toward the path. "I'm fine. It has wheels."
"What about the stairs?"
"It's fine," I insist. "Go, Dean, otherwise you'll miss your bus." Just as I give him a gentle shove to spur his sexy ass into gear, a familiar voice echoes behind us.
"Hey, Allie."
My hand freezes against Dean's chest. I quickly let it drop to my side, then turn around to greet the approaching figure. It's Jim Paulson, one of Sean's frat brothers. My nerves flutter in my belly as I wonder how much he heard and saw. Shit, did he see me kiss Dean? "Hi," I say, forcing a smile. "How was your Thanksgiving?"
"It was all right."
Jim's gaze flicks toward Dean.
"Hey, man." "Hey,"
Dean says tightly.
"Where are you guys coming from?"
His unmistakably suspicious gaze lands on my suitcase. "New York," I answer casually. "Dean's from Manhattan, and I'm from Brooklyn, so we carpooled." "Go, environment!" I pretend to wave a little flag, but Jim doesn't even crack a smile.
"Cool."
He continues to study me.
So yeah, nice seeing you."
His parting smile is friendly enough, but as I watch him walk away, I can't control the ball of dread that lodges in my throat. Fuck. I have a very, very bad feeling about this encounter. There's no doubt in my mind that Jim will tell Sean about it. A part of me doesn't care because Sean's not my boyfriend anymore. Even so, the anxiety eddying in my stomach refuses to go away, and I know I'm going to be worrying about this all freaking day, waiting for the other shoe to drop. The shoe drops at 1 in the morning. It drops hard. No, it drops loudly. As in, I'm rudely awakened from a deep sleep to noisy pounding on the door. I sit up and frantically look around, because it takes my not-yet-alert brain a few seconds to comprehend what's going on. Once it registers that the sounds are coming from the front door, I fly out of my bedroom and stagger into the common area. 2 shadowy figures stumble out of Hannah's room at the same time. My sleepy roommate and her boyfriend halt abruptly when they spot me. Bang! Bang, bang, bang!
"What the hell?"
Garrett sounds groggy as he turns his head toward the noise. My pulse speeds up when I hear Sean's voice.
"Allie!" he shouts from behind the door. "I know you're in there! Let me in, goddammit!"
Just like that, Garrett is wide awake and marching to the door. I squeak in alarm, but he doesn't open it,
He simply pounds his fist against it a couple times.
Shut the hell up, asshole. You're going to wake up everyone on the floor.
Like I give a shit, comes Sean's furious reply. I need to talk to Allie.
Then pick up the phone and call her like a normal, sane person,
Garrett snaps.
And do it tomorrow morning. Allie's asleep.
Hannah moves beside me and rests a hand on my arm. My skin is ice cold, and I know she feels it, because she gives a soft, comforting stroke. Garrett will get rid of him, she whispers. But she's underestimated Sean's stubbornness.
She's not asleep, he snaps back. I know my girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend, I almost yell.
And she's standing right behind the fucking door. I know she is.
The pounding picks up again. Bang, 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 bang.
Allie, open the door. We need to talk.
I flinch. Hannah wraps one arm around my shoulders.
Bang on this door one more time and I'm calling the fucking cops,
Garrett hisses out. Bang, bang, bang. My throat squeezes shut. God damn it. He won't go away. I know he won't. And I'm suddenly overcome with visions of campus security and a police brigade swarming Bristol House like a SWAT team taking out a bank robber. Which wouldn't just be mortifying, but completely disruptive. From that point on, everyone in this dorm will think of me as the chick with the insane ex-boyfriend. Let him in, I say weakly. Garrett whirls around, his gray eyes blazing.
No fucking way, Allie. He's drunk.
I know, but he'll calm down once he's inside. My shoulders droop unhappily. He'll stay out there all night, Garrett. Just let him in and I'll talk him down. I can handle this, I promise. Hannah's boyfriend remains skeptical. I don't blame him. Sean is absolutely acting like a crazy person right now. But I spent 4 years with the guy, and I know he's all bark and no bite. He would never hurt me in the physical sense. Garrett points a finger at me.
If he tries anything, I'll beat the shit out of him.
I nod. Cursing under his breath, he flicks the lock and eases the door open. I half expect Sean to barrel inside and do a somersault before popping to his feet, like an army commando on a mission. But he enters with slow, labored steps that match his ragged breathing. His brown eyes instantly seek me out.
We need to talk,
he mutters. Garrett has glued himself to Sean's side. Hannah has glued herself to mine. I gulp nervously, easing myself out of my best friend's grip. Can you guys give us a minute?
Absolutely not.
Garrett's expression is awash with disbelief. Please, it's okay. We're just going to talk. I shoot Sean a pointed look. Right? His jaw tightens, but he nods.
Right. Just want to talk.
Several seconds drag by. Then Garrett swears again and scowls at Dean.
Don't do anything stupid, man. You so much as look at her the wrong way, and the only thing you'll be talking to is my fist.
Sean's head dips in another nod. Hannah's boyfriend has about 5 inches and 50 pounds on him, and it's obvious Sean takes the threat seriously. Hannah squeezes my arm. We'll be in my room. Shout if you need us. I don't think it'll reach that point. Sean seems to have calmed down, his breathing steady, his gaze no longer burning with malice. The moment Hannah's door closes, he sinks onto the couch and makes a low, agonized noise.
Dean De Laurentiis,
he moans, and the hurt and betrayal flashing in his eyes cuts into me like a dull blade.
Are you kidding me, Allie?
My pulse races as I step closer. I don't sit beside him. I stand in front of him, knees locked, arms crossed tight to my chest, because my whole body is shaking so hard it's the only way to stop from swaying on my feet. I don't know what to say, so I say nothing.
Are you together?
His voice suddenly drips with icy revulsion.
I swallow, unable to form any words. Why does he still have this kind of power over me? He always knows exactly which buttons to push, exactly how much disgust and disapproval to inject into his tone in order to make me feel guilty, to make me feel awkward, to make me feel awful.
Are you?
He demands. I force my vocal cords to cooperate. Yes and no. We're not a couple, we're...
sleeping together,
Sean finishes tersely. I nod, which brings another flash to his eyes.
So he's just your fuck buddy, is that it?
A hiss escapes his mouth.
You don't have fuck buddies. You're not like that.
My skin tightens with offense. Like what?
The kind of girl who sleeps around. We waited 4 months before we slept together for the first time. Since when do you hop into bed with someone after a few days? Or was it hours? How fast did you jump on De Laurentiis's dick?
I wince as if he struck me. I can tell he's drunk because of his ruddy cheeks and hazy eyes, but he's not slurring his words, and each one fires out like a bullet, hitting its mark and reigniting the discomfort I've always felt toward casual sex.
And of all the guys you could have chosen, you chose him? Do you realize how many bitches he's stuck his dick in? He fucking lives in the campus health center with all the STD meds he has to take.
I stiffen. Stop it! You're acting like a total ass right now. But Sean's not even close to being done.
Did you screw him when we were together?
He demands. My jaw drops.
No, of course not. And I'm just supposed to take your word for it?
He bolts to his feet. I take an instinctive step back, but he doesn't advance on me. He starts pacing the hardwood floor instead, raking his hands through his hair like he's trying to tear it out from the roots.
So now I fucking need to get tested? Is that it? I need an STD test because my girlfriend cheated on me with a dirty fucker like De Laurentiis?
Anger rises in my throat.
I didn't cheat on you, I bite out. And you're being ridiculous right now. You don't have an STD. But you might,
he cuts in, and then he starts to laugh, low and harsh.
You're sleeping with a slut. You're a slut.
I recoil at the cruel indictment, but somehow I manage to keep my breathing under control. Somehow I manage not to lunge at him and smack him in the face.
I'm not a slut, I say coldly. And I didn't cheat on you. And now it's time for you to go. You know what? I'm glad you dumped me. I want nothing to do with you.
His voice rises, and I cringe because I know Hannah and Garrett must hear him even with her door closed.
I was a fucking idiot for trying to win you back. Why the fuck would I want to get back together with a disease-ridden whore?
That's enough.
Garrett's booming proclamation comes too little, too late. Sean's last remark has already done its intended damage. I stumble backward as if he'd just slapped me. God, he might as well have. My cheeks are burning. My bottom lip quivers wildly, and I have to dig my teeth into it to make it stop. I have to fight the strangled sob that's desperately trying to rip out of my throat. I'm vaguely aware of Garrett grabbing my ex-boyfriend by the collar, hauling him to the door, hissing out a threat. But my face is on fire, and my vision is fuzzy, making it difficult to focus on what's going on. I jerk when I feel a pair of soft arms wrap around me. It's Hannah, hugging me tight. My head drops against her shoulder and I blink away the tears threatening to surface.
Are you okay? She asks urgently.
No. My response is muffled against her sleeve.
Garrett went downstairs with him. He's going to call a taxi and wait with Sean to make sure that fucker gets in the cab.
She rubs both hands between my shoulder blades.
Allie, talk to me. I need to know that you're all right, sweetie.
For some reason, the sympathy in her voice blows apart the last thread of my control. The tears spill over and stream down my cheeks, A sob flies out as I shudder in her embrace. How could he have said all those awful, hurtful things? We were together for years. He loved me. He knows me. He knows I'm not a... I choke on another sob. A disease-ridden whore. As shame floods my body, I push away from Hannah and hurry to my bedroom. I hear her footsteps behind me, reaching my door just as I collapse on my bed. I curl up and swipe at my tears with the sleeve of my t-shirt, but they keep falling faster, stinging my eyelids and sliding into my mouth. "Allie," Hannah says softly. I ignore her, gulping through the sobs as I stick out a hand and fumble on the nightstand. I need Dean. I need him to wrap his strong arms around me and give me that speech again, the one about erasing slut from my vocabulary and not letting small-minded people convince me I've done anything wrong. My fingers collide with my phone, and I moan when I discover it's dead. "Allie," Hannah sounds exceedingly worried. "Talk to me." I inhale a wobbly breath. "Can you do something for me?"
"Anything," she says instantly. "Just tell me what you need."
"Can you?"
I speak through the tight lump in my throat.
"Can you call Dean and ask him to come over?" I don't check her face to gauge her reaction. I don't need to, because I hear the bewilderment loud and clear in her voice.
"Dean?" She pauses. "Dean De Laurentiis?"
"Yes." I curl up again, tucking my head against the pillow.
"You want me to call Dean?"
"Yes."
"Dean De Laurentiis?"
"Yes." I lick my dry lips, which are salty from my tears. Tears that won't fucking stop falling. "Please, just call him. I
feel my entire face collapsing again.
I need him."
Chapter 25. Dean. Where is she? I muscle my way past Garrett before he can even fully open the door. My gaze darts around the common room, but Allie isn't in here. Wellesley is, and she immediately shoots to her feet when she sees me. She's in her room. I charge forward, only to be intercepted by the petite brunette. "Hold on a second," Hannah orders, planting her palm against my chest. "You're not seeing her until you tell me what the hell is going on." "You tell me," I snap impatiently. "You're the one who called me at 1 a.m. and told me to come over because Allie needs me. What happened?" "Sean showed up," Garrett says grimly. "Drunk and pounding on the door and demanding to talk to her. I let him in." "You let him in?" I roar. "She told me to," he mutters. "Said she could handle him." Hannah speaks up angrily. "You should have heard the way he was shouting her, calling her a slut and saying she has STDs. What the fuck?" Fury sizzles up my spine, ripped from my throat in the form of a menacing growl. "Get out of my way," I tell Hannah. "Dean," she protests as I sprint toward the short hallway. "What are you even doing here?" The thump of my footsteps drowns out the rest of that sentence. I burst into Allie's bedroom, then skid to a stop when I find her curled up on the bed. She lifts her head at my entrance, and the desolate look in her big blue eyes shreds my heart to pieces. "Baby," I say softly. A startled gasp sounds from the door. Gritting my teeth, I spin on my heel and proceed to slam the door in Hannah and Garrett's astonished faces. They don't exist to me right now. Only Allie does, and I'm on the bed before she can blink, drawing her into my arms and cocooning her in them. She buries her face against my chest, and I can feel her trembling. "What happened?" "Sean was here." The answer is muffled against my hoodie. "I know, G told me, but why was he here?" A curse slips out when I remember our run-in with Paulson this morning. His frat brother, Paulson, told him he saw us together. Her nod bumps her head on my collarbone. Asshole, I mutter. Then I take a breath and smooth my hand over her silky hair. I take it Sean was pissed. Her voice cracks. He called me a disease-ridden whore. Red-hot fury slams into me like a cross-check to the chest. It takes every ounce of strength to push it away, to banish it from my body. I want to kill the bastard for saying that to her. You are not. I take another breath. A disease-ridden whore. Do you hear me, baby? You are not that, ever. I don't know why that son of a bitch would even... Because of you, she whispers. My hands clench into fists against her shoulders. What? He thinks you're riddled with STDs because you have an active sex life. I'm clean, I interrupt. My voice is low, rippling with anxiety. Fuck, I really hope she believes me right now. I've never had unprotected sex in my life, Allie. I got tested before the season started, but I can do it again if you... I stop. Fuck that. I'll do it even if she doesn't ask me to, just to squash any seed of doubt that piece of shit Sean might have planted in her head. I trust you, Dean. I know you're safe, okay? It wasn't the disease part that upset me. It was the other part. The way he looked at me. Her small body shudders. He was so disgusted. It's like in that moment he truly saw me as a whore and he hated me for it. The fissure in my heart cracks wide open, sending jagged shards to my gut. Sean should be thanking his lucky stars he's not here right now. I want to wrap my fingers around his throat and squeeze the life out of him. Baby, I swallow my rage. Baby, look at me. She slowly raises her eyes to mine. I don't give a shit what Sean says or what he thinks. You didn't do a goddamn thing to deserve his verbal attack, you got it? You're not a whore, you're... Perfect, I almost say. But I don't get the chance because she's trembling again. Then why do I feel like one? She blinks rapidly as if she's trying not to cry. God, I hate this. I told you I'm not cut out for casual sex. My palms grow damp. I don't want her to continue. I'm too terrified of what she's going to say. I'm not sure I can do this anymore. Fuck. It's too confusing. Sleeping with you when we're not actually together. We're together, I bite out. She startles. What? It feels like someone jammed a handful of gravel in my throat. I gulp through it. We're together, I repeat. She looks baffled. Why? Because we are. A nonsensical response, but it's all I've got. I don't want this to end. I can't explain why, but I just know I don't want this to fucking end. You want... The groove in her forehead deepens. You want to be with me? My heartbeat grows erratic. I haven't had a conversation like this with a girl in years. Not since Miranda. But Allie isn't Miranda. Allie is... She's... Fuck, I can't make sense of my jumbled thoughts. Except for one. The bone-deep certainty that I can't let this end. Dean? I tighten my hold on her, burying my face in the crook of her neck. I want to be with you, I mumble. So that means we're fucking together, okay? Shaky laughter tickles my cheek. You're freaking me out right now. I'm freaking myself out. Groaning, I lift my head and cup her delicate chin with both hands. Why did you ask Wellesley to call me? Allie falters. Because, she bites her lip. Because I wanted you to tell me that Sean is wrong. Because I needed... She stumbles again, as if she's as freaked out by this as I am. Her uncertainty only makes me more certain. I rub my thumb along the seam of her lips, soothing the tiny indentation she made with her teeth. You want it to be with me? She's quiet for so long that I'm nervous again, Then she nods. Tell me why, I say gruffly. I need to know it's not just because casual sex makes you feel slutty, that it's not just because you're insecure about everything Sean said. Allie slowly runs one hand over my cheek. It's not. Her fingertips scrape the bristles of stubble on my jaw. I want to be with you because it feels right. The tension in my chest dissipates, replaced by a strange rush of warmth I couldn't explain if I tried. We don't speak after that, which is equally strange. This long, inexplicable silence that doesn't need to be filled. I release her only so I can peel my sweater off, kick away my jeans. I reach out and click the bedside lamp. Darkness falls over us. Allie gets under the covers. Without a word, she shifts over so there's room for me. I slide in behind her, curling one arm around her slender body and drawing her closer. She makes a contented noise and snuggles her ass to my groin, her back to my chest. Her hair tickles my chin. I fall asleep to the sound of her soft breathing and the steady beating of her heart beneath my palm. Hannah and Garrett are in the small kitchenette when I emerge from Hallie's room the next morning. They're holding the most ridiculously pink mugs. Wellesley's has Allie's BFF scrawled on the front in a purple script font. Garrett's says Han Han's BF. I smother a laugh. Why do I get the feeling the custom mugs were Allie's doing? Since I expected a cross-examination, I'm not surprised when they attack the moment they notice me. What kind of game are you playing with my best friend? I specifically told you to keep your dick away from her, man. I follow the aroma of freshly brewed coffee to the narrow counter. It's not even 9 o'clock. I'm not awake enough to have this conversation yet. Unfortunately, my pointed effort to ignore them has no effect. They keep firing questions at me as I pour myself some coffee. How long has this been going on? Why didn't you fucking tell me? Why didn't she tell me? This is going to ruin our whole group dynamic, you know. You think so? Hannah's attention is on Garrett now. If it's just a fling, it probably won't change anything. Your girl doesn't do flings, babe. She's a nester. It's the same observation I'd made about Allie on the drive to New York, but hearing Garrett dissect the sexual habits of the girl I'm dating raises my hackles. The girl I'm dating. Jesus, never thought I'd be saying that. But it's the way it is, and I've decided to roll with it. Hey, I have an idea. I lean against the counter and stare at them over the rim of my mug. How about you guys mind your own business? Wellesley's jaw drops. Garrett's eyebrows soar. A choked laugh comes from the hallway. A moment later, Allie saunters into the main room. Morning. She says casually. There's a beat. Morning, Hannah answers. Allie approaches the counter and picks up the coffee pot. When she leans on her tiptoes to grab a mug from the top cupboard, I can't help but give her jutting ass a little smack. Hannah glares at me. Garrett shakes his head. What? My expression is innocent. Allie sips her coffee, then wraps both hands around the mug and addresses the room. Okay, real talk, guys. She glances at Hannah. Dean and I are together. There, it's out in the open. You may now commence with the questions. Hannah's mouth stays closed. For someone who'd had questions galore only minutes ago, her silence is surprising, worrying. Her troubled green eyes tell me she's not happy with this new arrangement. No? Nothing you want me to say? Allie lifts the mug to her lips. Alrighty then. I hide a smile and turn to Garrett. Hunter and I have an hour of ice time today. Coach signed off on it. You want to come? He rubs a hand over his jaw, scratching the dark stubble there. You still giving Davenport pointers? Working one-on-one? I nod. He's eager, works hard. But I think some tips from another forward will do him some good. Garrett nods back. Sure, I'll tag along. Wouldn't mind working with him on penalty killing. He made too many mistakes during that Burlington power play yesterday. At least we won the damn game. True, our record still blows, though. It's a fucking bummer, man. My Hurricanes have a better record, and they're freaking middle schoolers. Your Hurricanes? He grins. Dude, admit it. You're in love with those kidlets. Fuck off. I just have fun coaching. You both need to go, Wellesley announces, a mix of annoyance and exasperation on her face. Garrett is visibly hurt. You're kicking me out? I'm sorry, babe. I love you with all my heart, but it's time for some girl talk, and last I checked, you don't have a vagina. Therefore, you need to go. She scowls at me. You too, Dean. I know better than to argue with Hannah Wells when she's set her mind to something. She wants us gone, then gone we shall be. I drain the rest of my coffee, place the empty cup in the sink, and glance at Allie. I'll call you later. Yep. She walks up and gives me a chaste kiss on the cheek, but there's no way I'm leaving without something a little more substantial. Capturing her chin in my hand, I tip her head back and press my mouth to hers. The kiss I give her is deep and hungry, involving a hell of a lot of tongue and lasting long enough to make Hannah squawk, "Okay, enough," she orders. As Allie and I break apart, I toss a grin in Wellesley's direction. Oh, relax, baby doll. It's just a little French kissing between me and my girl. Nobody died. Hannah's mouth falls open. Then she points to the door and growls, "Out."
Allie. His girl, Hannah says the moment Dean and Garrett are out the door. Explain yourself, Allison. I mean it. Explain yourself. I swallow some more caffeine. I need to jumpstart my brain if we're going to have this conversation right now. Though honestly, I'm not sure I can explain myself. I can't make heads or tails of this Dean thing either. I guess I'm his girl, which means he's my guy, because we're a couple now? Bottom line, I did not expect last night to end the way it did. After the way Sean completely lost it and treated me like a clump of dog shit under his shoe, I should have been ready to swear off all men. And somehow, I wound up with a boyfriend. Life is fascinating sometimes. When did this happen? Hannah's voice softens as she searches my face. And why didn't you tell me? I shrug awkwardly. I was embarrassed. Why would you be embarrassed? Sighing, I carry my coffee cup to the sofa and sink down on it. I tuck my legs under me and wait for Hannah to join me. Because it's Dean. Dean De Laurentiis, the biggest player we know. I feel bad saying it, but I've always been honest with Hannah. He's annoying and ridiculous and totally not my type. Or at least that's what I used to believe before I got to know him. Sure, he's still annoying and ridiculous more often than not, but there's so much more to Dean than I ever could have imagined. Hannah purses her lips. All right, start from the beginning. When did this happen? When do you think? I say wryly. The night I stayed over at their house. Her face pales. Oh God, so this is my fault? I did this to you? I burst out laughing. No, I did it to myself. I got drunk and wound up in his bed. It's all on me. And now you guys are together? She looks flabbergasted. How is that even possible? You said so yourself. He's the biggest player we know. Why would you ever agree to date him? Because I like him, I say simply. Are you sure we're not dealing with a rebound situation here? I shrug. It might have started as one. I can't deny that Dean's attention made me feel good. It was different than Sean's attention. Sean always needed me, but in ways that I could never satisfy. Nothing I did was good enough for him. I was always making him angry and disappointing him. And a part of me knew we weren't right for each other, but I like being in a relationship. Those last words hang between us like a giant anvil. I don't even have to look at Hannah to anticipate her next question.
You sure you aren't rushing into a relationship because you need to be in one? Her skepticism is digging a hole into what felt right last night, what even felt right this morning. Stricken, I look at her. I don't know. I tried to tell Dean no. After the first night we had sex. Mind-blowing, unforgettable, can't stop thinking about it, sex. He kept calling and texting, begging for round two, and I kept putting him off until it seemed stupid. I wanted him and he wanted me, so why not? But you couldn't keep it just sex? I groan. I tried, I really did, but I'm not wired that way, Han-Han. And I don't know how it happened, but I started enjoying more than just his magical dick. She snickers, but I keep going. He's good to me. He's a great listener. He's fun to be around. The sex is off the charts amazing. Wait, did I just put sex fourth on that list? Apparently so. But that's because, well, because sex isn't the first thing I think of anymore when I think of Dean. We've come a long way from just being two sweaty bodies on an orgasm quest. We've watched a French soap opera where, between us, we only understand every third word. We've danced together. We've hung out. He met my high school friend. He met my dad. And he's the first person you want to talk to when you're upset, Hannah adds shrewdly. I press my lips together. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't deny what happened last night. My first instinct was to get Dean's arms around me, as if he was the only person who could make it all better. And he did. He soothed my hurt pride, my wounded feelings, and held me all night long. I wouldn't have slept a minute last night if he hadn't come over. Are you worried he's going to hurt me? I ask with a sigh. Hannah rubs the rim of her coffee cup a few times before answering. No. I think I may need to worry about Dean. He's never rushed to anyone's side before. I'm not saying he's selfish. He's a good friend. But I know Garrett would call Logan before he'd call Dean. I don't know why, I say irritably. Dean would give anyone the shirt off his back, no questions asked. Logan's reliable. And Dean isn't? Just because he's a little sex-obsessed doesn't make him unreliable. A few lukewarm drops of coffee spill out as I slam the cup on the table. Hannah bursts out laughing, her unwelcome sounds following me into the kitchen where I grab a few paper towels to clean up my mess. What's so funny? I demand, tossing the damp towels in the trash. You and your needless defense of Dean. She rises from the sofa and joins me in the kitchen, giving my shoulder a small squeeze. Look. If you want to be with Dean, then be with Dean. I'm just worried because you don't sleep with guys just for funsies. I'm not saying that sleeping with him right after breaking up with Sean is wrong or dishonorable in any way. It's just not you. I sag against the counter. I know it's not me. I keep telling myself that, but I really like being with him, damn it. Are you in love with him? No. I don't have that squishy feeling when it comes to him. Not like I had with... I trail off. I was going to say not like I had with Sean, but I can't remember the last time I felt soft and warm towards Sean. The only feelings I remember having are ones of restraint, irritation, impatience, and last night, hurt. Hannah shoves a new cup of coffee in my hand. Stop overthinking it and just see where it goes. 26. Allie. Over the next week, I take Hannah's advice and try to turn off my brain. Dean and I start going out together as a couple. Nothing explicit is said. We don't wear little badges, but our interactions make it obvious. When we're out, he's always touching me, but not in a way that makes me feel like he's trying to mark his territory or show off. He's just super physical. If I'm near him, his hand is somewhere on my body. Usually, his palm is glued to the top of my ass, but sometimes he brushes my hair back or dangles his fingers over my shoulder. He kisses my temple and cheek. Not once do I feel like he's holding me back. Of all of our friends, Garrett is the most concerned. Hannah wants me to be happy, and as long as I'm smiling, she's smiling. Garrett, on the other hand, waffles between worry and wary acceptance. He's convinced that Dean is going to break my heart, which will therefore create a rift between his girlfriend and one of his best friends. I've tried to reassure him that I'm all grown up and can handle any heartbreak that comes my way. But then the conversation winds its way back to Sean, who I just want to forget. Dean makes that pretty easy. Anytime he's not in class or on the ice, he's with me. Sometimes he's reading a book while I rehearse my lines. Sometimes he helps me out by reading a part with me. His high-pitched fake female voice has me dying with laughter, so it usually takes a few tries to get through an entire scene. And by the time we're done, he's horny. From my laughter, he says. Although I get the impression that I could do just about anything and Dean would be ready to go. The most important thing is that we're happy. Way happier than I've felt in a long time. Which is fucking mind-boggling. If someone had told me 6 weeks ago that Dean De Laurentiis and I would not only be dating, but happily dating, I would have laughed my ass off.
What do you have going on after rehearsal tonight?
Dean asks from the bed. He's lying against the pillows, hair tousled, looking like the sex god that he is. I refocus my eyes back to the mirror and away from him so I don't accidentally stab myself with the mascara wand. Nothing. I'll probably just grab dinner in one of the meal halls. Why? What are you up to?
I've got an errand to run, and then I rented some ice time for the hurricanes.
My stomach falls a little. Not see him tonight? I force myself not to show any disappointment. Just because we're not together doesn't mean we need to be joined at the hip.
Want to meet for dinner after?
He adds. My heart flips over. Sure.
Cool. Can you come to the arena? There's this restaurant nearby that I think you'd like. It's an Italian place, but it's got all this fun old-time movie memorabilia.
His hand wanders underneath the blankets, which are pulled down to his waist. I poke myself in the eye. Would you stop touching yourself? I drop the mascara tube on the table and pick up a tissue to wipe the smear of black I just made at the inside corner of my eyelid because I can't keep my freaking eyes off Dean.
What's wrong, baby?
You jealous?
I was thinking of how hot you look.
He rolls to his side.
You make a little circle with your mouth when you put your eye makeup on. It's basically begging me to stick my dick in there.
Nope, there's nothing warm and squishy about my relationship with this guy. I shoot him a disbelieving glance. We just got done having morning sex, I remind him. I apply two quick swipes of the mascara before Dean's hand can do more damage under the bed sheets.
That was 30 minutes ago. Since then, you've showered, waved your tits and bare ass in front of me getting dressed, and then made little blowjob circles with your mouth. So, yeah, I'm horny again. Sue me.
I throw my coat on and lean a knee on the mattress to kiss him goodbye. You'll have to jerk off then, because I have class and I don't want to be late. He curls up and kisses my neck first, then my lips.
I'm going to rub one off now so that I can last longer tonight.
Damn it, now I'm horny. Dean is on the ice when I arrive at the small arena across from Hastings Elementary. I always thought coaches sat on the sidelines and barked out orders, but he's in the middle of the rink, his attention fixed on one slight figure wearing pink skates. Pink? I thought the Hurricanes were a boys' league.
You're getting too high. Stay low so your weight is better distributed.
He crouches low enough that his own head is barely higher than the miniature player and his butt is skimming the ice. I watch in amazement as he actually skates a few yards before stretching out a leg and spinning around. His smoothness on the ice is pretty amazing.
Come on, give it another try.
The skater wobbles forward.
Remember, when you're perfectly straight, you're actually standing on the inner and outer edge of your blade. The middle of the blade is scooped out.
Dean makes an upside-down U-shape with his finger.
You want to use your edges to keep your legs from spreading too far out. It feels weird at first, but I promise you'll get the hang of it.
One pink skate pushes forward tentatively, followed by the opposite one, and the whole motion is repeated again until the figure glides past the crouching Dean.
Is this okay?
A little girl's voice calls out.
Am I doing it right?
You sure are.
He watches her intently as she floats along the ice.
You're a natural, Cody.
Who's Cody? She asks.
You're Cody. Or wait, maybe Dakota-y? Everyone needs a nickname.
What's yours?
Dakota puts her tiny fists on her non-existent hips.
Awesome. I'm awesome.
He winks at her and then pulls her hand into his, and the two of them skate together. Or I should say, Dean skates backwards and Dakota clings to him. Her eyes are fixed on his face, two adoring spots savoring his every movement. Despite the chilly air in the arena, I'm completely warm. Dean's patience toward this young girl is making my ovaries explode. This is a side of him I've never seen before. Never thought I even cared about. Sweetness unfurls inside of me, filling in the cracks and holes I didn't realize existed, taking me completely by surprise.
Are you in love with him?
No, I don't have that squishy feeling. I think back to my conversation with Hannah and, fuck, what am I feeling then? How is it that everything he does makes me smile? Why was he the first one I turned to when I was desperately upset? Why? An ear-piercing whistle cuts off my silly thoughts, and I'm grateful for the interruption. The sound of what seems like 100 sticks pounding against the ice fills the arena. I notice a line of pint-sized hockey players on the other end of the rink. Dean gestures for them to skate forward, and they all race to do his bidding, sending up a wall of shaved ice when they stop at the center line.
While Dakota practices her skating, I want you to break into two groups. The first group will carry the puck, head up from the blue line and back again. The second group stands in the middle of the ice. No reaching or trying to steal or checking. Just stand there. Once the first group returns to the blue line, switch. Most important part of this drill is keeping your head up.
Dean arranges the boys who serve as the obstacles at varying points along the ice, and then remains in the middle of the action as the team splits into two and starts racing up and down the ice, swerving neatly.